Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Announcements as we get going tonight. First, when you came in, hopefully you got a candle. You're going to need that. Hopefully you got this little card. This is how we register attendance. If you put your name on there, we're going to pray for you by name, but also on the backside, just if you have any kind of special prayer request, our prayer team wants to pray for you. So please fill these out. And then also, you got to just... If you want to know what's coming up at St. Luke's, this is about our sermon series on one side, and then about Alpha. If you haven't heard about Alpha, just go Google it. It's a course, a basic course in Christianity. All questions are welcome, and that's starting in January. All right? Okay. We also, tonight in ministry, is we just call it Christmas Acts of Kindness. And so there's a back table out there, and there's all these, there's homemade cookies, there's homemade peanut brittle, there's homemade bread. And if you will just take a label, it's all the folks that have to work Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So there's law enforcement folks, there's fire department, there's convenience stores, there's hotels, there's hospitals. And just take some of that candy, take some of those treats, and just go give it to anybody you feel led. All right, there's a little label, just stick it on there. And y'all just, that's for y'all. Clean that table off as you go home tonight, okay? All right, in Luke 2:10, I think you know the story. The angel of the Lord appears to a group of shepherds out in the field. And the first thing he tells the terrified shepherds, of course, is, "Fear not, fear not." Now, maybe tonight we can all relate to the little boy who played the part of that angel in the Christmas story. He and his mother had rehearsed his lines over and over. It went like this for him. "It is I, don't be afraid. It is I, don't be afraid." Yet when the Christmas pageant began, he walked onto the stage. And he saw the lights and he saw the audience, and he just... You know, he froze. And after an awkward silence, a long awkward silence, he said, "It is me, and I am scared." Maybe you're here tonight, and maybe you're a little scared or frustrated or weary or angry or hurt or lonely or anxious or hopeless or grieving. Fear not. Fear not. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden." Jesus says, "Come unto me, all who are burdened, all who are weary. Come unto me." Jesus, we praise you tonight. Not just that you have invited us to come unto you, but Jesus, right now, right here, this very night, Lord, we praise you that you, Jesus, you have come to us. Thank you, Jesus, not just for Christmas long ago, but for your coming here this night to meet with us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Lighting a candle is a simple yet profound act. It is a testimony to the power of light over darkness. Something we experienced later during the candle lighting 4 weeks ago, we began our journey toward Christmas and lit the first candle of Advent. The Hope and Prophecy Candle. Seven 700 years before the birth of Jesus, Isaiah prophesied his coming. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel."
3 weeks ago, we lit the second candle of Advent, the peace candle. As we relight this candle, let us remember our Savior to save us from our sins, and let us receive peace that only Jesus can give us in relationships with each other and relationship with God. 2 weeks ago, we lit the candle of joy. Luke 2:8-11 tells us, "There were two shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that there will be great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. May the light of his joy be yours this very night."
Last week, we lit the love candle, and we light the love candle tonight, because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. John 3:16-17. We are here at this altar, and you are here in the sanctuary tonight because Jesus is our hope, our peace, our joy, and our love in this season and in all seasons, years, decades, and forever to come.
As we light the Christ candle in the center of the wreath, we are inviting Jesus to come and be the center of our lives, the center of our families, of our church, indeed, of our world. Jesus said in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Dear Jesus, may your life-giving light and spirit be experienced and received by every person here this night. Amen.
You guys, so much. Evan, thank you for improvising. We are not going to let Jesus not light this place up tonight. Thank you, guys. All right, we have a beautiful piece that just Fanny and Nathaniel and the Bells are going to do for us. And let this be all of our prayer that we pray together. O come, Emmanuel. Amen. Great singing. Y'all be seated. Y'all, tonight as we have our offering, we have taken a lot of special offerings, and tonight we're just giving to Jesus. So don't feel compelled, don't feel obligated, but if you feel led, just give to the Lord. There is what we call a grace tree out here in the foyer. It's had CPS families on there. It's had all kinds of other needs on there. And what's on there tonight are these little buckets, and you can give clean water to a family, and you actually, you know, do the QR code. You can follow this gift as it affects families all over the world. There's also, like, you for $40 you could buy chickens for a family somewhere around the world, and I think it was like $60 for goats. So anyway, just check out the grace tree if you want to make a practical difference in somebody's life. That's what that grace tree is all about. Lord Jesus, thank you for the greatest Christmas present ever given, for you so loved us that you came. And Jesus, I thank you for all the ways you've been working in our lives and in our families and in our church, in this world. And Lord, as we give to you tonight, we just want to love you. We just want to worship you. We just want to put in your hands our little. And then, God, we know that you will turn it into your much to change this world. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. I hope you're ready to be blessed. These guys are going to share a great song. You probably know it, but just let them minister to you tonight.
Did you know?
Let's put that on the album we got. All right. Beautiful. Thank y'all so much. I ask you to stand at this time here and receive the word of the Lord. This is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a feed trough." And suddenly a company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying or singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men upon whom His favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Man, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off. The old translation says, so they made haste. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Lord Jesus, make your word come alive to us. Jesus, tonight we're not just looking backward and seeing what happened 2,000 years ago. We're expecting you to come and be born, not just to the shepherds, but to be born unto us and in us and for us and through us. So Lord, speak. Lord, move. Holy Spirit, come. Your children are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all can be seated. I really am so excited that each of you are here tonight to worship Jesus. You really could have been a lot of other places, so thank you. More importantly, Jesus is so pleased that tonight you have chosen to intentionally spend time with Him to celebrate His birthday. Happy birthday, Jesus, right? I want to spend the next couple of minutes talking about the profound ouch in our world today. We're here tonight to talk about the good news, but for the next 2 minutes and 10 seconds, I want to remind you of some of the bad news of 2022. War in Ukraine, famine in Africa, religious persecution in Afghanistan, oppression in China. All of these are very real and very prevalent this very moment. On the financial front, 2022 has been the year of the crash. The stock market bottomed out on multiple occasions, causing historic loss of resources. And we also have that thing, inflation, going on, right? And remember when gas prices skyrocketed before coming down just this month. In March, oil shot up to almost $140 a barrel. And now West Texas crude is barely selling for $70 a barrel. In the world of politics, We seemingly still can't do much more than call each other names. And the divisiveness we feel is not just one of words, because our nation truly is polarized on a whole host of issues. There's also a true mental health crisis in our nation right now. One out of every five Americans suffer from a diagnosed mental condition. Depression rates are the highest on record, and the greatest increase in depression is among our youth and our young adults. The statistics for addiction, anxiety, and suicide continue to rise. And oh yeah, violence is everywhere in our nation. Right here in Lubbock, we now are listed as the third most dangerous city in Texas, behind only Houston and San Antonio. We have had more mass shootings in the U.S. in 2022 than ever before. A mass shooting, according to the FBI, is when one or more individuals actively engaged in killing or attempting to kill people in a populated area. And of course, our worst tragedy this year was in Uvalde, where 21 people were killed. The horrific loss of life was accentuated because of all the places that involved our human failure. Y'all, the truth is, it's not just dark and not just struggling and not just broken and hurting out there. It's broken, hurting, dark, struggling in here. It's dark, broken, hurting, struggling in here. All of us know what it is to have personal hurt and relational conflict and self-centered and destructive sin in our own lives and in the lives of our own families. Romans 3:23 tells us that all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short. All of us have fallen way short of the glory of God. Way short of who God really wants us to be. There's an old anonymous poem that says this: if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But since our greatest need was our sin and our alienation from Him and our profound rebellion against Him and our own death, God sent us a Savior. It's because of our need for a Savior that Jesus came. It's because of the deep darkness of the world and in the deep darkness of our own heart that Jesus, the light of the world, has broken in. It's because of our need for forgiveness and freedom, our need for healing and deliverance, that Jesus gave up His deity and took on the full reality of our humanity. Tonight, I want to emphasize three clear and powerful words from the angel on that long ago Christmas morning. First, the angel says, "I bring you good news of a great joy." Now, there's all kind of good news out there in the world. Hey, you got a raise. Or hey, your fantasy football team came in second place. Or hey, it really is going to be a little warmer tomorrow, right? Or hey, I really do think, I checked it a while ago, that Dallas did win the game. I'm not for sure, but I think so, right? Hey, under the Christmas tree is a gift that you've really been wanting. Y'all, that's all. It's all good news. But the angel is not just proclaiming just any old good news. He's proclaiming good news of a great joy. Just any old good news comes and goes. Just any old good news is here today and gone tomorrow. Just any old good news can bring a smile, but it can't fill the soul. Within every human being, there's a God-shaped vacuum. God created us in His image. God created us fearfully and wonderfully for relationship with Him. God breathed His very breath, His very Holy Spirit into us. And that's how humanity became a living being long ago. And that's still how we become truly alive now. That's still how we become truly a living being in Him this very night. I mean, you can try to put all the good things in the world, all those presents under that tree. You can try to put all those things in this void. In fact, you can try to put all the bad things in this world in that void. But God and God alone can make us full. I bring you good news of a great joy. You are created with a void that you can't fill. But he can, and he does, and he will. As surely as those folks 2,000 years ago, they needed Jesus to come then. Oh my, do I. Oh my, do we need Jesus to come to us tonight. I just encourage you, let him come. I just encourage you to just look at all the stuff that's been going on in your life and say, is it really working? God and God alone can fill this void. Second, the angel says, unto you, a Savior is born. Unto you, a Savior is born. Unto whom? Unto the shepherds 2,000 years ago, yes. But also unto you, each and every one of you this night. I can think of a lot of ways that we are not like first century shepherds. I mean, we don't smell the same, thank goodness, right? And we don't live with sheep, at least most of us, I think, right? We don't sleep under the stars except on really cool camping trips. We don't go around wearing a tunic of cotton with the leather belt tied around our waist. And for sure, for most of us aren't considered outcasts or outsiders who can't even enter the temple, or we wouldn't even be in this building tonight. So that's how we're different on the outside. But on the inside, there are also plenty of ways that we are like the shepherds. We're hard workers. We'll do whatever it takes to take care of our families. We're just common, ordinary folks. We too would never expect the greatest choir, the greatest song, the greatest truth ever proclaimed to be spoken or sung to us in the middle of our everyday workday. But that's what happened to the shepherds. That's where the angel and the message showed up. And that's still where God wants to show up in your life. Not in some holy place or sacred space, just your space. Just whatever, wherever you are. That's where he wants to come. You see, these shepherds had no way in and of themselves to get themselves considered spiritually clean. They had no way in and of themselves to make themselves right with God. And so God gave the greatest birth announcement ever given to a bunch of unnamed, outcast, common old shepherds. Y'all, we too can't heal ourselves. Have you tried? We too can't fix ourselves. Have you tried? We too can't save ourselves. We need help from beyond where we are. The miracle workers, the compelling story of two women with great resolve, Helen Keller and Ann Sullivan. Helen was born in 1880. She wasn't yet 2 years old when she contracted an illness that left her blind, deaf, and mute. When Helen was 7 years old, Annie, a young partially blind teacher, came to the Keller's Alabama home to serve as Helen's teacher. Helen's brother, James, he tried to convince Annie to quit. He said, it's useless, you'll never do any good. But the teacher wouldn't even consider quitting. Annie was resolved to help Helen function in a world of sight and sound. But Helen was stubborn, just as stubborn as her teacher. Helen was locked in a frightening, lonely world. And so Helen continually misinterpreted Annie's attempts to help her. The result was a battle of the will for the ages. Over and over, Annie pressed sign language into Helen's palm. Over and over, Helen would pull back. Over and over, Annie persisted. Over and over, Helen resisted. Finally, in a moment of high drama, a breakthrough finally came. During a fevered exchange near the water pump, Annie placed, or should I say forced, one of Helen's hands under the spout of the flowing water. And into the other hand, she spelled out W-A-T-E-R. Over and over again, W-A-T-E-R. Helen pulled back again and again, but Annie just kept signing W-A-T-E-R. And all of a sudden, Helen stopped. And Helen placed her hand on her teacher's, and Helen repeated the letters to her teacher, W-A-T-E-R. And Annie just beamed from ear to ear, and she lifted Helen's hand onto her cheek, and she nodded vigorously, yes, 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 W-A-T-E-R. And Helen again, W-A-T-E-R. And then Helen began pulling Annie all around the yard, spelling every word that she could touch or she could feel. D-I-R-T or P-U-M-P, G-A-T-E. That day, Helen experienced a brand new way of life. Now she was filled with the capacity to communicate and able to celebrate the beauty of relationship. You see, Christmas is all about God Himself coming to us. God initiating relationship with us. God breaking through into our messed up, hurting world. He will not leave us in the dark. He will not just sit back while we miss out on life. He is the pursuer, the teacher, sending us the message of H-O-P-E and L-I-F-E and I-L-O-V-E-Y-O-U. I-L-O-V-E-Y-O-U. Are you resisting or are you receiving? The final message from the angel is, unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Christos Kyrios, Christ the Lord. Jesus is not just Savior, He is Lord. Lord of the universe and Lord of you. Jesus doesn't just save us so we can keep doing whatever the heck we want to do. Y'all, that's not how saving works. Real salvation always leads to real transformation. A long time ago on a Texas beach, a mother noticed her son was struggling to swim out in the deep water. So she ran to the lifeguard on duty and she screamed to him about her son. And the lifeguard spotted her son and then he just watched. She screamed and screamed for the lifeguard to go and save her son, but he watched him. Finally, the lifeguard saw the son begin to surrender his struggle, and in a flash, he was in the water to her son, and he quickly brought the boy back to his mother. The boy was worn out and scared, but now indeed he was saved and rescued. The mother asked, "Why? Why did you wait?" And the lifeguard said, "People have to be ready to be saved to actually be saved." I don't know about you this Christmas, but I'm ready to be saved, Jesus. I'm ready to have the strong and powerful arms of Jesus around me and around all of my family this Christmas. What about you? What are you looking for this Christmas? 2,000 years ago, the folks who missed Jesus' coming missed it not because they were evil or wicked or unsavable. They missed Jesus' coming. They missed Christmas simply because they weren't looking for it. They missed Christmas simply because they were too busy seeking after other things. Man, this Christmas, is it all about what Santa's going to bring or all about what's under that tree? Or is it really, truly about Him? I want to close tonight with the story of Wally. Wally was 7 years old and kind of big for his age. And everyone wondered what role the teacher would give Wally in the annual Christmas play, especially considering the fact that Wally had been labeled what they called a slow learner back in the day. Perhaps Wally would get to pull the curtain up and down. But to everyone's surprise, the teacher gave Wally the role of the innkeeper. Wally, of course, was delighted. After all, he just had to learn one line, and there is no room in the inn, right? There is no room in the inn. And Wally had that line down in no time. Then came the night for the program. The parents took their places. Every seat in the auditorium was filled. The children entered the auditorium singing, "Oh, come, all ye faithful." And the lights dimmed, and a hush moved over the audience, and the curtain opened on scene one, and Mary and Joseph entered the stage and walked up to the inn. "Please, sir, my wife is not well. Could we have a room for the night?" Wally was all ready for his big line. He'd rehearsed it a zillion times, and he began, "There is..." And then he hesitated. He started over again. There is. And again, his mind went seemingly completely blank. Everyone was so embarrassed for Wally, and Wally just didn't know what to do. And Joseph thought he'd improvise, and so he started walking away toward the stable on stage left. And seeing him walking away, Wally, in a brilliant desperation, he called out, "Hey, look, y'all, Joseph and Mary, hey, y'all can come over to my house. We got plenty of room. Just bring Jesus, and y'all just come to my house." And the crowd erupted in applause at perhaps the greatest Christmas line ever delivered. "Come on, come on, bring Jesus. I got plenty of room." Today, the grandkids came over to our house, and so we hung up our stockings. You see, we're hanging up stockings at our house just so maybe Santa will come to our house and their house, right? You know. And so when we hung up the stockings, you know, they're fully expecting Santa to show up and fill up, right? Tonight, as we close, I want to ask you to hang up your spiritual stocking. To lift up your spiritual stocking. I want to ask you to open up your heart and pray a simple yet powerful prayer for Jesus to come and fill you with Himself. Here's the prayer. Look at it a minute. And then I'm just going to ask that we pray it out loud together. As we pray this prayer, "Jesus, you just come." Y'all ready? Let's pray. "Jesus, come and be born anew and afresh in my life. Jesus, I confess that you are Lord of the universe and Lord of me. Jesus, I believe that you are risen from the dead, and I ask that you come and live in me and reign in me from right now until I go to be with you in heaven. Jesus, I belong to you." Maybe that's the first time you prayed that prayer. Maybe it's a thousandth time. But I'm going to tell you, that's a prayer that Jesus always answers. When you invite Him to come, oh come, Emmanuel, He will always come. We remember that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took bread. He gave thanks to His Father, and he broke the bread, and He said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." And likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup. And once again, He gave thanks to His Father, and he poured the cup. He said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." Y'all, we come to this table. It is not a Methodist table. It's just a Jesus table. And we come to this table tonight because we need Him. Because He is the only way to life and life abundantly. We come to this table because this bread and this juice, I know that they're just common, ordinary stuff. But tonight, may they be more. As you just take bread and juice into your stomach, may you really be taking Jesus into the very core of your being. Remember, we don't come to this table because we earn it. This is a table of grace. The unconditional, unmerited love of God that meets you wherever it is that you're hurting or struggling or living in sin or addicted or broken. He meets us where we are, and He takes us where we need to be. This is a table of grace, love. There's nothing we can do to make God love us anymore. Nothing we can do to make God love us any less. He just loves us. So I invite you tonight, come and feast on that grace. Come and receive that love. And let Jesus come and take ownership of you from the top of your head to the tip of your toe. Jesus, light of the world, we thank you that you came and put on human skin and that you laid in a manger. We thank you that you came, became God incarnate, God in the flesh, and you went to the cross for us. We thank you, oh God, that you came forth, and when they put you in the tomb, you didn't stay there, but you came forth from the tomb so you could come into us even this day. Lord Jesus, may your light be the light of our life. And Lord, as you alight us with your love, let us go out into this world and love this world. Love each other, even as you have loved us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Merry Christmas!
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.